Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope everybody's doing well. Had a great week. Here I am. It's like a cheap Jack in the Box, isn't it? Oh, goodness. It's good to see you this morning. Glad you're here. And enjoy the singing. Always enjoy the singing here. It's always been good. Brother Joey was going to give me the microphone a while ago, let me sing, and I said, no. You don't want that. We were in a church one time up in Chucky, and Phil asked me, he said, do you want to sing? I said, no. I said, the only way I could sing on key is if I sat on them. So, and then I don't know, it'll be right there. But anyhow, if you have your Bibles, let's look this morning at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We're going to use one verse this morning as our springboard, as our text verse, into the message the Lord's put on my heart this morning. And I hope you've come expecting. Don't expect nothing from me, but you expect something from God. Don't expect nothing from the choir, Brother Joey, but you expect something from God. God uses us feeble vessels. Aren't you glad of that? We're nothing special, but we serve a special God. He's a great God. Let's look in John 14, verse 27. And if you have a red letter Bible, this is in red, so this is Jesus speaking. And he says, peace I leave with you. Now, if we just put a period right there and just dwelt on the fact and meditate on the fact that Jesus gave us peace, that would do us good for about 15 years. But he goes on. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace, his peace. This is not just some peace you buy at the flea market. It's not some peace you just buy at the store. This is his peace. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Boy, aren't you glad of that? We'll look at that in here in just a minute. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why do we not let our heart be troubled in this crazy world? Because we have peace. We have something the world don't have. We have something that they don't understand. They can. They can't. They can today. They could if they wanted to, but the Bible says that in the last days, people will be willingly ignorant. And that's not a slight, taking a slight jab at somebody saying they're ignorant. That's what the true definition means, without knowledge. I was ignorant. You were ignorant. I'm not calling you ignorant now. You can laugh right there. But we were ignorant before we knew Jesus. Now we're not ignorant no more. So you can't call me ignorant. If you do, you just will. But I want us to look this morning at the topic of peace. What do we search for in this world? What do we long for in this world? What do we crave? What do we, if I could use the word long after, even maybe to lust after, crave deeply in this world. It's peace. Parents, you've probably said this a thousand times. Can I please just have a moment of peace? Some of you wives have most likely said, can I please have a moment of peace? You're driving me crazy. I always get the last word when me and Amy have, not really arguments, but conversations. And usually the last word is yes, ma'am. But anyway, the word peace is defined in the Greek as quietness, rest, or to set at one again. Webster's dictionary defines peace as a state of tranquility or quiet. Ask you this question this morning. Is this possible to have peace in today's world? Is it possible to have peace in today's world when there's all kinds of turmoil, all kinds of upheaval, all kinds of disasters going on? Is there a way to have peace today?
Yes.
Yeah. But that peace only comes through God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a peace that's like none other. A lot of times we'll do things like me and Amy several years ago bought a sound machine, this little thing you plug in and you push the button to find out if you want a storm or waves crashing or birds singing, whatever, you know, all the different nature sounds to help us sleep. My problem is, I know that stuff's on a loop, so I'm listening for when the loop starts over. I can't go to sleep because I'm listening to when it starts over again. And you can usually figure it out. Some people use different scents or natural oils or different things like that to help you sleep, to help you have peace. Oh, that oil, that diffuser, that just calms you. Some people have certain lighting, dim lighting, whatever, to give you peace. Some people take medication for peace. And I'm telling you the honest truth, I'm not lying. They have a beard oil that is infused with lavender that you rub in your beard before bed, and it's supposed to help you smell the lavender and go to sleep. I never tried it, but it's out there. There's all kinds of things we look for to find peace. There's all kinds of ways and avenues we look to find peace, but none compares to the peace we receive from our Heavenly Father. None compares. That's a peace that is perfect. Perfect peace. The world, he said in the text verse, not as the world giveth, give unto you. The world gives with a return expectation. I'm going to do for you, but you're going to do double for me. Isn't that the way the world works? And the world gives with return conditions and expectations and return desires for attention. I'm going to give this fellow here $20, but I'm going to film it while I'm... Well, what are you giving him $20 for? Just to show off? The Bible says when you do something, you give, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Don't do it for show, but that's what the world does. Jesus does not. He gives out of love and devotion to his children, to you and I. And may we return the gift of giving of ourselves to him for all he's done for us. I hear many times, especially politicians and so forth, they'll close their speech or whatever they're saying. They say, may God bless America. God has blessed America, church. God has blessed America abundantly. It's time for America to start being a blessing to God. God's blessed us with more than we could ever exhaust ever imagine. I think when we get to heaven, one thing we're going to realize, the Lord's going to allow us maybe to get a glimpse of all the things that he had for us on this earth that we never realized. Well, I didn't know I could have did that. I didn't know we could have done. God's gave us bountifully on this earth. But I want us to look at four things this morning. With peace, with God, we have peace, first of all, for our soul. Some of you are here this morning, you're looking for peace for your soul. You've had a rough week, you've had a rough month, you've had a rough year. And you say, Matt, you don't know what I feel like. I can't sleep, I can't eat, I'm just miserable, I don't know what to do. I tell you what you need to do, you need to come to Jesus. Because that's the way, only way you're going to find peace. Alice from the Brady Bunch, Ambie Davis, she gave an interview years before she passed away, and she said this, I believe every person is born with a Jesus-shaped hole in their heart. And they're never going to be fulfilled or never going to be happy until Jesus fills that hole. And I think that's pretty good theology from Alice from Hollywood. That's pretty true. That is fact. We all have this longing. We all have this desire to have peace. And the main peace and the major peace that we'll get is through Jesus. The Bible says in Acts 10:36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all. And because of God's grace and mercy, we as Gentiles have been adopted in. We've been grafted in. We've been allowed to partake of that grace and that mercy. Because God doesn't just keep it to the Jewish people, to the Israelites. He allowed us to be a part of this grace as well. And that's worth praising him for. And that's worth thanking him for. And that's worth having joy in our hearts, because we can have peace because of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 10:15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Romans 5:1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. You see, Jesus is not just somebody that was a historical figure. He lived on this earth for 33 years. Perfect. Sinless. Never did anything. Could you imagine being one of Jesus' brothers or sisters? According to Matthew 13, he had four brothers and at least two sisters. So after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph wed, and they had at least six children that we know of. Could you imagine being one of those children? Who did this? No, I can't say that because he's perfect. You know, you couldn't never blame anything on the Lord because he's perfect. He never did anything wrong. And he lived on this life for 33 years. And he was crucified on that old cross. Nails in his hands and feet. Thorns pierced his brow. He was beaten and mocked, spit upon. Why did he go through all that? Because he loves you and loves me. There needed to be a way of salvation. There needed to be a way for us to get to heaven, because the Bible says in Romans, we all fall short. We all fall short of the glory of God. And so Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood. He was buried in that tomb. And 3 days later, he rose again. And he did that to make a way for you and I to be saved. I can't get to heaven by myself. You can't get to heaven by yourself. There's no point in trying. So what do? We have to rely on Jesus. He is the gospel of peace. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. And because of that, we can have salvation and experience peace. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Live the gospel. Share the gospel. Not with wisdom of words. You can have some man stand before you and be a great orator, have great education, and wow you with his words. That don't mean nothing. That don't mean a thing. It's not in wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Does preaching do something for you? Does it put you to sleep? Give you peace? Some people get a lot of peace in preaching, I tell you what, because as soon as they start preaching, it's... I had a teacher in Bible college said that he was an evangelist. He was at this church one time, and the pastor told him, he said, there's a fellow that sits in this certain place all the time and said, every single time, every time I go to preach, he's asleep. He said, I cannot get that guy to wake up and stay awake. Brother Perkins said, I'll take care of it. If you knew Brother Perkins, he'd take care of it. And said he got to preaching, and he was watching that fellow, and sure enough, started preaching. He had head dropped, and he was dozing. And he said, I started just talking in just a monotone voice, just not saying anything above just a regular talking voice. And he said, that fellow was sawing logs. He said, all of a sudden, I said, I want this church to know that there's a fire in hell. He said, that guy jumped up, run around like a chicken with his head cut off, thought there was a fire. Thought there was a fire in church. But anyway, the plain and simple gospel. The plain and simple gospel. It's all we need to have peace in this life. One thing that bothers me as a Christian is we make salvation so hard. We make it difficult. We want to put our 2 cents worth in. I don't need your 2 cents. Keep it or you'll be broke if that's all you got. But why would God make something that's so important difficult? He didn't. We do. And I was thinking about this a while back. If there was a certain wording, certain words that we needed to say, say this and you'll be saved, don't you think that would be in the Bible somewhere? Yeah. But it's not. You know what is in the Bible? Romans 10:13. For whosoever, that's anybody, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You remember when Peter was walking on the water and he was going to Jesus and all of a sudden he noticed the waves and the wind around him and his focus and attention got off of Jesus and it went back to the storm. He began to sink. He was going to die. But what did Peter say? 3 words. Lord, save me. Peter didn't say some prayer that he repeated after one of the other disciples in the ship. He didn't say, no, my dear Heavenly Father, I pray that thou wouldst reach hither down thine hand and rescue me from this tumultuous. No, he didn't do that. He said, Lord, save me. What did Jesus do? Immediately, he caught him by the hand, lifted him out of the waves, and they entered into the ship. So when I need to get saved, is there something particular I need to say? No. What do I say? Lord, save me. To believe in the heart, you believe in the heart, then confession is made with your mouth. If Peter didn't believe Jesus could save him, why would he ask him? If you didn't believe Jesus could save you, why did you ask him? We believed in our heart and then we asked him. We called on his name. You're saved. You have peace. I struggled with that for years as a kid. Am I really saved? Am I really saved? Am I really saved? But when I understand it's not what I do, it's not what I say, if I had to say something, that's a work. I'm working it out. I don't do that. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. It's, Lord, save me. I call on his name, I'm saved. It's that simple. It's that simple. Hey, Brother Allen, what did he just do? He acknowledged. When I spoke his name, he acknowledged me. When we speak Jesus' name, he acknowledges. He listens. He hears us. But not only peace for our soul, with God we have peace for our minds. And there's some here today that's looking for peace for your mind. The Bible says in Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded or fleshly minded or worldly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You can have peace of mind today. We don't see things as the world sees. I said that a moment ago. We see things different. We see things different because we have a different outlook on life. We're new creatures. We're a new creation in Christ. Therefore, when troubles come and trials come, we don't fret and turn about and wonder what in the world we're going to do. What do? We go straight to our Father. He can take care of our situations. He can take care of our storms. I think I may have told you this years ago, but if I did, it's been a long time. And I'll tell you the quick version. Back in 99, I had back surgery at Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston. And the insurance I had at the time was going to be out of network, so we knew we were going to have to pay 30% of whatever the hospital bill was. I went in and had surgery on Wednesday. I wasn't able to set up. I had to lay flat until Monday. So Friday afternoon, I believe it was, this fella came in with this big folder, and he starts talking to my mom. When he leaves, what was that about? She said, your insurance decided you were pre-existing. They canceled your policy. Here I am laying in the bed, can't even set up, much less leave. And now, if instead of 30%, we're looking at 100%. Oh. So, we get back home to Bristol, and me and Amy meet, start dating. Get a phone call one day. Clicks an agency. Never got a bill, never got a statement, never got nothing from the hospital, not one thing. But all of a sudden, now we're getting a call from a collection agency. And she said, we owe, you can imagine, thousands and thousands of dollars. I don't have it. Amy's going to dump me now because here I am, thousands of dollars of debt. She don't want to mess with that. So thankfully, my mom had everything that we needed to send to the collection because she had been in medical stuff for years, so she knew how to do all that stuff. And so the lady called back in a few weeks, and she said, I've got some good news. And I'd had an MRI in Greenville several months before I had surgery. And she said, somehow you've qualified for financial aid in Greenville. So they wrote that MRI off. And South Carolina law, at least back then, said that if you qualify for financial aid in one county, it carries to all counties. Guess how much we paid? Zero. Whew. That went to peace of mind real quick. That's peace of mind. That's what God does. That's what God does. He can do that for all of us. Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, when you become a born-again Christian, you get all of these fruits of the Spirit. You get them all. When I was born, I had all these different muscles. You can't tell it now, but I did. But I didn't start getting bigger, and those muscles didn't start showing a little bit until I started working them, till I started developing them. As I grew older, I started developing those muscles. And as we grow in Christ, we start developing those fruits of the Spirit. We have all that we need, but we don't use all that we have. We have to develop those things. But one of those fruits is peace. Against such, there's no law. There's nothing hindering you having peace, except you. The Bible says, Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule or govern in your hearts, that word also means minds, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule and govern your minds, your hearts. Now, how do I let something happen? If you come to my house today and you want to come in, visit for a while, I'll move out of the way and say, come on in. I'm letting you in. I'm getting myself out of the way so you can come in. So how can we let the peace of God rule in our minds? Get ourselves out of the way and let him come in. We want to have control. That's part of our nature. We like to have control. We like to have some semblance of what we think is control. But with God, we just have to step aside and let him. That's against our nature. But that's something we have to practice and practice. And we let the grace of God rule in our life and the peace of God. We allow the Holy Spirit to use the Word of God in our lives. If we do that, it will have a specific purpose and impact in our lives. You ever read the Bible and you read this one passage of Scripture and think, I didn't get anything really. But maybe a year later, you read that same passage and you're going through something, man. You're going through something tough. And all of a sudden, that passage jumps out and you think, oh, I needed that. That's really helping me today. That's because we let the Word of God, let the peace of God rule in our hearts and minds. He will give us, the Holy Spirit will give us exactly what we need, when we need it, how we need it, and we'll have peace. Back in 2009, I had shoulder surgery, rotator cuff. And if anybody in here has had rotator cuff surgery, I sympathize greatly with you. I've had all kinds of surgeries, back, knees, or knee, leg taken, all kinds of stuff. And usually they give you pain pills to recover from your surgery. And I get scared of those. I don't like to take them unless I have to. And every surgery I've had, I've never taken the full prescription of pain medication. But my shoulder, I took all that was in the bottle and had it refilled. That shoulder hurts, man. It hurts. The surgery is the easy part. It's when the therapist says, okay, just relax. I'm going to move it for you. Yeah. But my therapist, Barbara, she said, now all you have to do is just relax. I'm going to do all the moving and stretching. You just relax. I'll move it for you. That don't work. That doesn't work at all. Oh, my goodness, that hurts so bad. But you know what? After I'd been there a little while, I learned to trust her. And I learned that she was doing what was beneficial for me. And it turned into a pain to a kind of feel-good hurt. You know, one of them hurts that feels good. It's kind of weird. And she started moving it and stretching it and so forth. And it wasn't bad. And she would tell me, just relax. Just relax. Just relax. So I want to tell you this morning, as a child of God, just relax. God's moving all the pieces into place. He's got everything covered. He's got everything in place. It's going to be okay. Just relax. But that's a learning process. We're learning to lean. We're learning to relax. As the old hymn says, I'm learning to lean. That's so true. And then with God, we have peace for our valleys. There's some of you here this morning that you're going through a valley. You're going through a tough time. But all of our lives, we're going to go in and out of different valleys. They'll come to us in all shapes or sizes. But the Song of Solomon says in chapter 2, verse 1, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. The word valley there is plural. I used to say I'm the rose of the Sharon and the lily of the valley. That word valleys is plural. Every valley you go through, there's a rose and there's a lily. That's Jesus. He gives us peace. He gives us contentment. He gives us calmness in the midst of those valleys. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hey, listen, church. God supplies everything we need. We don't develop any type of peace in our life. God gives it to us. We can't drum up some kind of peace. It only comes from the Lord. Letting Him rule and reign in our lives, letting His Word speak to us on a daily or regular basis is going to give us that peace that we need in the midst of the storm. Long time ago, a man saw a picture of perfect peace. Not finding one that satisfied him, he announced a contest to produce this masterpiece. The challenge stirred the imagination of artists everywhere. And soon there was paintings coming from far and wide. Finally, the great day of revelation arrived. It was time to reveal the paintings. And judges uncovered painting after painting after painting after painting. Finally, there were only two paintings left. The crowd was getting tense with nervous anticipation. A judge pulled the cover from one of the paintings and a hush fell over the crowd. It was a picture of a mirror-smooth lake that reflected lacy green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. Along the grassy shore, there was a flock of sheep grazing, undisturbed. This had to be the picture of peace. But the man that had the vision and came up with a contest, he uncovered the last painting by himself. And when he did, the crowd gasped in surprise. Could this be peace? What in the world? The painting was that of a tumultuous waterfall cascading down a rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel its cold, penetrating spray. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind, and rain. In the midst of the thundering noise and bitter chill, there was a splendidly little tree that clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls. One of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters as if foolishly trying to experience its full power. But a little bird had built a nest in the elbow of that branch, content and undisturbed by her stormy surroundings. She rested on her eggs, with her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones, she manifested peace that transcends earthly turmoil. Is peace the absence of turmoil and strife? No. We'll never be absent of valleys. We'll never be absent of turmoils. We'll never be absent of adversity in this life. It's going to follow us all of our lives. But we will never be without our Lord to guide us. He's with us every step of the way. You may be going through something horrendous today, but God's with you. His peace he gives you. Let it take root in your life. I close with this. With God, we have peace for our tomorrows. What does tomorrow hold? Oh man, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got this, I've got to go. No, we don't know. We have plans for tomorrow, but we don't know what tomorrow holds. We have no idea. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not even promised the rest of today. But with God, we have peace for tomorrows. Maybe you're here looking for peace for tomorrow. Today is full of opportunities and blessings. Don't miss out. Sometimes we get so caught up in what's going to be that we forget about what is. And what is, Jesus said, I am. He is. He's going to take care of us. God is already in your tomorrow. He's already taking care of everything. All we have to do is just take care of ourselves today and follow him and trust him. Several years ago, a good friend of mine, one of my teachers from Bible college, he passed away. And a few years before that, his mom passed away, and he told me this story. He said she was in the nursing home laying in the bed. He was in her room in a chair beside the bed, and they were talking, just conversation. And all of a sudden, she said, oh, won't you look at that? He said, Mama, what is it? She said, I can't tell you. So they just kept talking. A few minutes, she said, oh, looky there. He said, Mama, what is it? She said, I can't tell you. So he got up from the chair and went and sat on the bed beside her, and they just kept talking. And they talked for a little bit more, and all of a sudden she said, oh, look. He said, Mama, what is it? She said, I can't tell you. He said, Mama, you can tell me. I won't tell nobody. And she said, I can't tell you. He said, Mama, why can't you tell me? And here's what she said right before. A little bit later in the afternoon, she closed her eyes and went to sleep in Jesus. She said, I don't have the words. This lady didn't have the ability in the English language to express or a word to describe what she was seeing. I think tomorrow's looking pretty good, don't you? I'm not talking about Monday. I'm talking about the next step for the child of God. It looks pretty good. It's beyond our wildest dreams. The Bible says it's never even entered into man's imagination, man's heart, the things that God has prepared for us. That sounds pretty good. So I close with this. Can we have peace in today's world? Same question I asked earlier. Yes, we can. God and his word and promises have not changed. We can have that peace. Take him at his word for salvation and beyond. Don't just trust him to save you and then try to figure it out on your own. Let him take care of your life. That's what he wants to do. That's what he does do. He'll take care of you. He'll supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Charles Wesley said this little poem, and I'm done. I rest beneath the Almighty's shade. My griefs expire, my troubles cease. Thou, Lord, on whom my soul is stayed, wilt keep me still in perfect peace. Do you need peace this morning? Do you need peace for your soul? Do you need peace for your mind? Do you need peace for your valleys? Do you need peace for tomorrow? You can have that peace. It's freely offered if you'll just receive it. Come to Jesus. That's where you find perfect peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for another day of life. Thank you for the privilege to be in your house this morning. Father, we thank you for being with us this morning. We acknowledge your presence and your power. And Father, I pray if there's anyone here today that's never trusted you as Savior, I pray today that they would surrender their lives to you and trust you as Savior. Or maybe some child of God is going through something today that's far beyond what they can handle. Lord, I pray that they might get peace today, peace that comes from you. I pray you have your will and way in every heart and life in these next moments, in Jesus' name. As we stand, if you need to come to the altar's open, need someone to pray with you, we'd be glad to do so as we sing.
The gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord, it was so vast, the crossing I could never fold.
There's more speaking in your heart this morning, come.
From where I was to his demand, it seems so far. I cry, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. He came to me. He came to me.
The Lord speaking to your heart this morning, come on.
When I could not come where he was, he came. That's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. He came to me. When I was bound in the chains of my sin, and he came to me when I possessed no hope within, and he picked me up and drew me gently.
Peace this morning.
He came to me. Yes, he came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. That's why he died. He came to me.
Here's your chance. Come
yes,
on.
He came to me. When I could not come to where that's why he died. On Calvary, when I could not come to where he was, he came to me.
As Miss Phyllis continues to play, if you need to come this morning, this invitation is not extended by our desires. God is speaking. Take your opportunity to find peace, to find Jesus, to find love. Don't let it slip past. God's extending mercy this morning, extending grace. Reach out and take it.
The gulf that separated me from Christ, my Lord, it was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to meet his demand, seems so far. So I cried to him, I cannot come to where you are. And you know what he did? He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary, when I could not come to where he was, he came to me, he came to me. When I was bound in all the chains of my sin, he came to me when I possessed no hope within.
Still got time this morning.
He picked me up and drew me gently. Come.
Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment as Miss Phyllis keeps playing. I feel deep in my heart that there's somebody here this morning that you're just not letting go. Just let go. It'd be the best thing you ever did. If you let go and let God have your life, He'll do more with it than you ever dreamed. This invitation is continuing by God's grace and mercy. If you need to come this morning, come. I promise you will not regret it. Come on, it's your time. This is for you. Yet another extension of the invitation. God wants you. God loves you. Come to Him. He came to you this morning. You come to Him. You still have time this morning. You still have time. One day you won't. Today you do. Thank you. still have time this morning. You've put it off way, way too long. Let's pray for this dear lady this morning. God will give her peace. If you need to come this morning, there's still time. If everything's okay with you and the Lord, just pray for this dear lady.
Struggling. Let Amber know how much we love her and appreciate her as we dismiss. Is all minds and hearts clear this morning? The altar is never closed, and we'll continue to stay here as long as we need to. But is all minds and hearts clear? Does anyone else have any needs that we need to meet today? If so, let's pray together. Lord, we come to you. God, we thank what you're doing in Amber's life. God, that she's found herself this morning submitted to you. God, may that be an example to all of us. Lord, when we have a need, when we feel certain ways, God, that your altar is where we land. God, that becomes our first stop. We come to you and we submit ourselves under your lordship. God, we want to thank you for the peace and spirit that you've given us this morning. God, I ask that you keep us safe as we leave, and God, I ask that you, as you bring us back tonight, may we be ready to receive again your power and your spirit and your love. And God, may what's happening this morning be an overflow into the night, into the next service. God, may we be a praying people. May this house be a house of prayer. May this house be a house of teaching and preaching God's word. And that a lot of fire within our belly, Lord, that we become a revived people. In your precious holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.